Welcome to the 116th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida. Welcome. As promised, I have Timmery Hagenberger with me again, and we're going to continue with our excusitarian routine. And today we're going to talk about, I don't know where to start when it comes to cooking plant-based. So welcome, Timmery. Hello.
Hello, thank you.
So, you've been doing good since I last spoke with you?
I've been doing great, actually. My students are progressing right through the semester, so we're getting towards the tail end, and I have a lot more students experimenting in the kitchen, so I want to try to capture what their experiences have been today as we talk through this excuse.
Yeah, you know, I spoke with a patient this week, and she, you know, she eats out 5 days a week. She has high blood pressure. Her husband has coronary artery disease, and she doesn't want to take medication, but I can't get her to stay in and cook. And she said, if I just knew what to cook. So we went through, and I actually had her sign up for my Instagram account because I try to post, and I know you post, what I eat on Instagram so people can get an idea. So I was like, you just have to get a few go-to meals. That's what we call them. You know, your standard Friday night dinners or your Thursday night dinner. So they're no-brainers. You know what you're going to cook on those nights, so you don't have to be creative.
Definitely. And I think a lot of my students, too, I think it's kind of a mixture as far as why they... Because they do. They come into my class, and you know, many of them are very young, but some of them aren't. And they'll say, well, I don't even know where to start, so I'm going to go to fast food. And they kind of stick with, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable, and we've talked about that before. And I think the media plays in heavy with this. You know, not only, oh, these, you know, fast food is really fast, which it really isn't in many cases. You know, nothing is faster than the lunch you brought, you know, with you. But also, I don't know what your thoughts about this are, but the Food Network is great, but it also, I think for a lot of people, makes it more intimidating.
Yes.
Do you think that it kind of plays into that a little bit?
Yes, because you have to do something fancy. There's a lot of different ingredients, and of course, you know, then they start putting a bunch of gunk in there. But yeah, it's out of their realm. And you know, if people don't cook at all, then you know, the thought of having to do all these different steps, it is overwhelming. So, you know, I often say, you know, one meal, one meal during the week is usually a sweet potato, greens, and beans, and, you know, maybe another vegetable. And that's a simple meal, and it's, you know, and you don't have to think about it.
Yeah, I talk about that as a first, you know, and it's in the book, too, you know, the idea of a loaded potato, and then you start playing with options. You know, you've got that base. One of my students, interesting. I'm going to feature her recipe in this month's article because she's built a bowl. You know, she said, I just love bowls, you know, and they're really popular. And so she said, I take brown rice and then, you know, I add a potato and I think about what colorful vegetables I can add. And she puts this whole thing together and she told me she does it all at the same time in the rice cooker. So she puts all this together, puts in the rice cooker, then leaves, goes to class, then she comes home, it's done. She whips up a sauce, and this is, you know, an 18-year-old student who has no cooking experience, but we talk about it in class and, you know, put these items together. She puts a sauce in the blender, cooks some tomatoes and onions and garlic, and pours it over. She likes it spicy, so she adds some chipotle pepper, and adds in some crunch, some, you know, fresh romaine lettuce, and she has a beautiful bowl that's way cheaper than anything that she would have bought out. Plus, she has all this extra in the fridge, and then she can make them, you know, she takes them to school, makes those, and she said it's fresh, and it tastes delicious because she makes it exactly the way she wants it. And so, it, you know, it seems like, oh my gosh, it would take, you know, take so much more time, but you know, you use your time so much more efficiently when you can make something that you know you're going to enjoy and then have it over multiple meals.
Yeah, I was talking last night. You know, I like to take, we make soup once a week as well, and I use my Instapot for that. And I actually made soup last night in class. I made a green soup. Started out with the regular leeks, carrots, and celery, and some mushrooms diced up, and some miso. And then we added collards at the end. Oh, and some potatoes and beans, white beans and potatoes. And so we had that. But when I have left, and there was, you know, a giant bowl of it. Even after class, we had some left over, which was cool because, you know, I have to smell it during class. And then I, you know, so I was like, I want some for myself. So I take it for lunch the next day and I just make, you know, I put more greens. So oftentimes I'll put my leftover soup on a big bed of greens so that I get my extra greens.
And, oh, yeah.
And I like that because it just steams. So I just have the raw greens and the hot soups kind of steams them as you're eating them. And it's a great way to, you know, kind of, and it's, you know, it makes it kind of all compact as far as carrying your lunch.
Definitely. And that whole reframing leftovers as planned overs, you know, I mean, that's obviously a little bit more advanced than just starting, you know, like the very first thing that you cook. But once you get something down, then making it in a quantity, I mean, it's the same cooking, you know, the same amount of, you know, dishwashing if you have one big pot versus a smaller pot. But that scramble that I have, you know, the scrambled tacos in the book has, we've eaten it, you know, obviously on tacos, we put it into burritos. My son now loves it on romaine crunchy lettuce, and we throw in some other greens in there. And then you can put it into a collard wrap. You can put it on a pita as a little pita pizza, you know, and you just change it the way that you enjoy it, you know, throughout the week. And it is, it just, it makes perfect sense to be able to do that. But my students too, they, some of them, many of them don't come with a history of cooking, even in the generation above them. So their parents aren't doing a lot of cooking because they're working. You know, so we have two, if we have a two-parent household, often both are working. Or they come with an ethnic background, especially for the boys, where they're not necessarily in the kitchen. And so, you know, the mom may have taken the cooking piece as her domain, and then they just, they seriously don't know where to start. And I had a student, I remember, that said, you know that commercial that said, you know, if you don't know how to boil water, you know, this is a fast food restaurant for you. He said, that's me. I don't know how to do that. And so, you know, it's like, where in the world, you know, do you start when you, that's your baseline, you know, is just really, you know, that low on the confidence scale. But like you had said, bake a potato, right?
Right, and you can nuke it if you need to, you know, and nuke it for, mm-hmm. you know, 5 minutes and finish it up in the toaster oven or finish it up in the oven if you're pressed for time. I was laughing when you said that because, you know, my mother was certainly the matriarch of our kitchen, and, you know, I was kind of shooed out for the most part. And she loves to tell that. She comes to nutrition class, and she loves to tell the story. Well, I can't believe she's cooking because she never did. And but when I moved out, I got a wok, you know, and I always laughed. I was queen of the wok, you know, and I love throwing, you know, vegetables in the wok and throwing different sauces on that, you know, and that's, it's hard to mess that up, you know, as a starter, you know, you throw everything in there and, you know, you're good to go. So that's a quick way to do it.
Crock pot too, you know, a lot of students have in their houses, or, you know, people have in their houses crock pots that never get used. They're in the back of some cabinet and, you know, whip out a chili recipe, you know, a really basic, you know, vegetable chili recipe, and let it go. And then you do get home or do the overnight oats, and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, this cooked for me while I was gone.
I heard also an interesting, you know, when we were talking about, well, I don't know what to cook, so I'll just go out for fast food. And so people get so used to the fast food, the burger, you know, to get a burger and fries. You know, that's the typical people grew up on, burger and fries, burger and fries. And so when the thought of that being taken away from them comes, it becomes paralyzing to them. But the reality of it is it's a blessing because it opens up your horizons to so many different things and so many more opportunities once you're just a little, just brave enough to dip your toe in the water to some other things.
Oh, it does. And it's so funny because I talk about this every single semester that we get to the section in the chapters in protein. There's a little tiny sliver that says, you know, vegetarianism. And it's kind of like with caution, it's restrictive. And it's like, are you kidding? I write right up there. No, it's not. It's actually, I've been cooking since I was little. And nothing blew the top off of the options like this plant-based did. All of a sudden, I'm thinking, really? Cauliflower? You can turn cauliflower into rice and mashed potatoes and ceviche and fish tacos. And it's like, what? We just, it's amazing how much we can do. And on the burger side, I mean, the idea of doing a burger that's bean, you know, you get some starch in there and some bean and hold it together with some oatmeal or some salsa or what. And you've got, I remember doing, I mean, it hasn't been that long. I do these black bean burgers, like 72 of them. You know, I just make them, put them in the freezer, and then bingo, we've got them. So it doesn't have to be super complicated. But, and you can, that's another idea that I think for students and anybody out there that's really starting to get into this cooking, if they're really used to eating out, then that can be a place to start. You know, what kinds of things do you like? You know, my student, she said she was eating out all the time. And she kind of played into that, well, yeah, we're busy college students, and so it's just more convenient. But when she was challenged in class to start cooking on her own, and she thought, well, what do I like? Well, I love spice. So that's, you know, a place where I can start. And she actually was interesting. She said her first place she starts is she goes into the kitchen. She went into the pantry and just saw what she had. And she just kind of took inventory. And she said, well, you know, I've got a couple cans of black beans. I have some rice. Okay, so this is kind of what I have to start with. And then she thought about what did she like. And so she just went on the internet and she looked for vegan, Mexican, easy, simple recipe. And she just typed in all those words. And then she, you know, got 5 million hits and then just started walking through. And she said she wrote a list and went out and, you know, crossed everything off the list that she already had, you know, at home. And then she went to the grocery store and bought, you know, the things that she hadn't purchased yet. So, I mean, it's a good place to start.
I also find that I think it's things at odd times that I'd like to have, or maybe I'm just kind of surfing, you know, my email, and one green planet will come up, and I'll see, you know, I always just run down the highlights of what the email is, and if there's a dish I like, I'll kind of click on it, and so it gives me an idea of what I might want to have for dinner, and I usually try, I know what I'm going to have for dinner that morning. I don't wait till that morning. I know a lot of my patients, I come in and I'll ask them, you know, what did you have for dinner last night? And then I ask them, what are you going to have for dinner tonight? You know, and most people don't know, but I always know. And because I want to, if I need to pick up something on the way home, then I can do it. But I always write it down because, you know, you get busy and you get twisted around and there's many things. He's like, what was I going to have with that? You know? And so I agree with your student, you know, I take inventory, what do I need and what do I need to pick up? And, you know, sometimes I shift it to it's more of the stuff I need, or if it's a day that I don't have time to stop by on the way home to pick something up, or, you know, maybe I'll shift some of the, you know, the items around. But I always know beforehand. I don't wait till the last minute, because I think if you wait till the last minute, you're kind of doomed because you're just going to say, like, oh, it's just too much, or I don't have this, I don't have that, and it's frustrating, and you're hungry, and, you know.
Yeah, and especially if you haven't cleared out your freezer, because if you have a frozen pizza in there, then, you know, that's what's going to happen. Or you're going to end up wasting money on going out anyway And there's, it's actually interesting. She specifically told me, and this is, again, 18-year-old. I'm so proud of her. She said, well, I prepare for the week, so on a day that I have a little extra time, I'll chop all my vegetables and cut them for the whole week. She said, I really like kale and spinach together. This is like, this brings tears to my eyes. I mean, it's just fantastic. She says, I cut it all up like confetti and keep it in a little bag in the fridge. And then whenever I eat something, I just sprinkle those greens right on there. You know, and she said, this is so easy because then on those hectic mornings or afternoons, I just, you know, I've had some of the prep that's done. And you and I have talked about what I do at my house, you know, is we figure out what foodie bars we're going to have for the week. So we do, because, you know, my kids have soccer. We don't get home sometimes until 8:15 at night. I mean, I'd like them to be in bed by 9. So we're not going to, well, what do you want? What do you feel like? What do you feel like?
Yeah,
there's
that's
no way. That's not going to happen. So we say, okay, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, we're doing pasta. Then we're going to do the nachos on Tuesdays and Thursday this week. And so we have it planned ahead. And then the kids appreciate that too, because they can kind of, they know, oh, okay, well, we're going to have this for dinner. So my snack after school, you know, is not going to be the same thing that we're going to eat for dinner, or it's going to be bigger or smaller, you know, based on what they've got going on.
Yeah, the planning, I think, is essential to, you know, kind of get that going. And, you know, so planning and starting simple and assessing what you have on hand already. I had a babysitter for Addie when she was little. And, you know, and of course, we always talked about my grandmother the same way. You know, we said she could make something out of nothing. You know, so look in the pantry and come up with this great dinner. And he's like, where did that come from? You know, it didn't look like, you know, if two people look in, could they come up with the same thing, you know, out of the pantry?
Right. That's like that, you know, those shows, you know, where it's like, here are your ingredients and, you know, what are you going to come up with? Something that's crazy, though, that just happened this past week is I had a student that came in just so frustrated. And it was a male student who he and his girlfriend came to watch Eating You Alive when I did a showing. And he said, we're convinced, okay, we're ready, we're going to do this plant-based. He said, so we went to Sprouts, which is a local grocery store, and he said, we just bought everything. We just put, and I think they spent like $250. He said, so now our fridge is full, and we have no idea what to do. And so he said, things are going bad, and he's like, and I'm starting to get upset. And he had, like, crazy schedule. He wasn't home. He said, is it okay to eat at 2 o'clock in the morning? I said, excuse me? He said, well, he worked in a care home, and so he doesn't even get off of work until, I think, 1 in the morning. And then his girlfriend works somewhere where she closes, and so they're home basically at 1:30 together. And, I mean, just insane schedule. But they didn't have any plan. He said, so then we ended up just going out and getting a sub sandwich. And they had hundreds of dollars worth of food. But if you don't have an idea, you know, so I'm trying to give them all the, okay, we'll do this with this and this with this and put this in the freezer and, you know, try to triage. But if you don't go in with a plan, then you're going to say, this is just so expensive because things are going bad and you're not, you know, utilizing them. So I'm happy that he's excited, but it just takes a little more planning ahead of time.
Yeah, there's with the organic co-op that's down here, you know, you get the box. So you pay in advance until you get what ripens in this giant box. And so they tell you 2 days before what's in the box. But, you know, people describe it as vegetable pressure because, you know, you may get all this, you know, what to do. But, you know, when you get into vegetable pressure, you know, the first thing I think is soup. You know, let's throw it all into a soup. That's one way to get rid of a lot of vegetables quick if things are starting to go awry, you know, is make a big pot of soup.
Definitely. And that's when the planning, as soon as they, you know what's going to be there, that's when you start to go on the internet and go, okay, what can I do with the collards that's also freezable, you know, if you think you're going to get a big bounty. And then you have, you know, those ideas. I think something else that is I learned a while ago at a CIA the Culinary Institute of America training that I had gone to. I'll never forget, the chef said, a messy workstation equals messy food. And so I think the idea of having the scrap bowl in place, you know, having the cutting board on, you know, if it's going to slide around on you, putting a wet towel underneath to keep it from moving, having everything kind of your ingredients out that you need. I think that really, even, you know, for, it's even more important for beginners, you know, where they feel like, oh, they're all over the kitchen. I think that that can be helpful to just kind of feel like, and put on music that you, you know, enjoy and enjoy the process. This is experimenting. There's, you know, no real bad dishes. I mean, there are every once in a while, if someone knocks over the salt shaker, you know, it's kind of, it may not be fixable, but for the most, you know, for the most part, most things, you know, if it gets too thin, let's see, what can we do with that? You know, can we turn that hummus, well, it's too thin, make it into a dressing, you know, or a sauce that's too thick, you know, how, you know, thin it with some vegetable broth. And, you know, I mean, you can just kind of start to play around with it.
Yeah, I think those are all really, really good points. Yeah, I like to have everything out, and the bowl, I have my little compost bucket there ready to rock and roll. It makes things a lot easier.
And taking a class like your cooking class where there's hands-on and people can taste, or watching videos, cooking videos on YouTube, you know, that are specifically, you know, geared towards plant-based. I have videos that take people from the farmer's market and the supermarket. This is how you choose cabbage. And then let's go in the kitchen and make, you know, a simple recipe with cabbage or with the apples or with collard greens. And so those short ones that, you know, you don't have to, you can just start right there and try it and then tweak, you know, the idea. Oh, I like this, but I would like it a little spicier. Or this is, you know, not thick enough or what have you. I think writing down what you're eating, like you had said, or if people just want to start taking pictures, but making some kind of notation so that when they come back to it, and I know we talked about that even last month, that kickstart observation log, but really pay attention when you're starting to cook, because you may think, oh, I'll never forget, you know, that I and, you know, tweak the recipe and added extra garlic, or, you know, I added some chipotle, or I added, you know, beans to this. And, but you do, when you start cooking a lot, then you realize, oh, I don't remember, what did I do? So keeping track and making your own little cookbook. And everybody likes to see pictures. So doing that on Instagram or one of the other social media platforms, I think is fun, because it is encouraging for everybody.
Yeah, my mom, she made that green soup, and I actually, that night while we were sitting there eating, I just took, you know, on my phone in the notes, I just wrote down green soup, and I put everything down that was in it. And she hadn't had it for a while, and I said, yeah, I'm going to make the green soup for class. And she started coming, you know, started saying, well, and you know, we were arguing about what we, you know, trying to remember what was in it. And it's like, well, wait a minute, let me just look here, you know. And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about that, you know. And it makes it easier too for your list to go get things, you know, if you have it already down somewhere. So I have our kind of go-tos, you know, in a spot. There's an app. You know, I'm bad about, you know, not being real organized. I put a lot of things in notes, and I just, you know, put a heading onto it. But there's a app called AnyList that you can keep your recipes in. And then you can actually share them a little bit. So that's a kind of a nice app. You can put, you know, you can make it as simple as just putting the ingredients in. You can put all the directions in. You can copy and paste, or you can put a link in. And then you can add the ingredients to your grocery list even, so it's kind of ready there for you to go after if you want.
Yeah, that's a good one. There's another one that I love that's called Plan to Eat. And it's web, but it's also, there's a mobile version of it, and it lets you schedule. It lets you say how much you have in the freezer. And I mean, it is like Cadillac. I mean, it's amazing. And I usually, It's a yearly, you can pay by the month, but it's very nominal. I think it's $5 a month or something. And they have it even cheaper. They have Black Friday specials usually. But that's something that if you want to really put a lot, and you can clip from the internet if you find a recipe and it imports it, and there's a lot of bells and whistles on that. But just having things, like you said, just in some place where it's accessible, that way you don't have to rely on memory, because as we know, the shortest pencil is more useful than the longest memory. So
that's for sure.
And I want people to think about the, as they're assessing the food, to think about those G-bombs, you know, that we always talk about, you know, Dr. Furman's, the greens, the beans, the onions, the garlic, the mushrooms, the berries, and the seeds. You know, even though it may seem a little advanced, when I'm thinking about my students making bowls or, you know, loading baked potatoes, and it's like, okay, so I heard you say mushrooms in your soups. You know, that's fantastic. And some of my students don't like the texture of mushrooms, and so putting that into a soup that gets pureed is fantastic. It's a super smart way to incorporate some of these, and then to think, oh, berries, I haven't had berries, then that would be a great dessert. And there's a great berry compote with stone fruit that I did on a California Bountiful episode on the website that I did with my, at the time she was seven, Mia was seven, and she's making it with me, you know, and so that's fun when you start thinking about what are these foods that really love us back.
Yeah.
And that they're not difficult to make.
Yeah, it's blueberry season here in Florida, so it's really exciting. We went and how many pounds did I pick? I think.
Didn't you say 21 pounds or something?
No, it was 12 pounds last Saturday. So I was thinking about going again tomorrow, and I was like, really, I don't have room, so I'm going to have to wait a week. We're going through them pretty quick, but it makes it, you know. Stick them in the freezer, obviously, but we had, you know, buckwheat pancakes with blueberries on Sunday, you know, blueberries for breakfast with oatmeal, blueberry, you know, so it's everything blueberry, but I never get tired of them, you know, I mean, it provides such a sweetness, and so there's 101 ways to add blueberries to things, and it makes it really, really good.
It does, and thinking, you know, the idea that my students, and that's, you know, where obviously my head is now, but they're all different ages, you know, from 17 to 70, that they describe, you know, they're so timid to start this, but then they come in so proud, and, you know, they'll send me emails, this is what I made, you know, and they say they feel accomplished, and they feel great, you know, and I had, and this is about saving money, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but I had a student who is now, by making this change, saving $400 a month.
Wow.
By not going out. And I had another that said she went back through her ATM to figure out which of her expenses, because it's really clear which of her expenses were fast food. And she had been working since January, and we were looking at her, it was 3 months at that point because it was in March. When she worked it out, every single penny that she made working, she spent on fast food.
Wow.
So she, you know, and it's hard because it's a hardship for her to work. It takes away from study time and, you know, social time and other things. And it was for nothing. It was just for eating out. And the hard thing is, that when they really look at it, you know, I ask them the hard question of, well, how do you feel when you eat that stuff? And they say, not good, you know. And then when they start doing this cooking that's easy and, you know, they say, well, I feel better. And they're almost afraid to tell me, like, I feel better. Yeah, it's okay. You can celebrate that, you know, that this is a change that you've made, and not only are you feeling more accomplished, but you're just physically feeling better and you're saving money. Because if they're going to be working, they have many more reasons, you know, many more options for spending that money. you know, they have a lot of other wants that they, you know, they can actually delve into now that they're not, it's not just going right out the door, you know, with the fast food. So, and convenience foods, food-like substances.
Yeah, and even if you take it one step further, you know, I mean, you know, into my more, you know, I have obviously an older population, and this is a vacation area down here, so people may go to restaurants where, you know, they pay, you know, a top dollar for entrees, but the reality of it is for that entree, they're not getting anything healthy. They're getting a, you know, a piece of fish, you know, and they'll say grilled, but it's, you know, it's sitting in a bunch of butter or, you know, oil and, you know, a tiny little vegetable and some potatoes that are in oil. And they, because they spend a lot of money for it, they, you know, they are assuming that they're not eating that bad because it's not a burger joint. It's not a pizza. You know, it's this, you know, and I was talking to this lady the other day and it's like, well, you're just eating expensive bad food, you know, unhealthy food. It's not, you know, much better than the other one. It's just labeled different. And, you know, and she was, and the bell kind of went off, you know, the light went off. She kind of, you know, started thinking about it. It's like, oh, you know, and of course she had, you know, multiple disease conditions and pre-disease conditions to, you know, to prove it. And it, and it's sad, you know, especially if you have means and you're going to go out and you're still, you know, but you're, you know, you're exposing yourself to these kind of choices.
Well, and the really, I mean, to take it even a step further than that with your clients too, is that when they eat that way, then they have these diseases and they can't even enjoy the retirement that they should be enjoying because they've got to work in their doctor's appointments and feeling crummy. And, you know, I mean, my parents, you know, they ride motorcycles. They're in their late 60s and they, I can hardly get them to come take care of the kids because they're off going. And a lot of their friends though are, well, we have this doctor's appointment and so on. You have to have surgery and we have to do this. And so they're working around all these appointments where it's just, it's ironic. You work your whole life to make enough money to retire to quote unquote afford to eat out. That's the good life, but you're actually digging your grave, as we like to say, with the knife and fork so that you can't even go out and adventure and enjoy the world when you don't have those other responsibilities because your body is holding you back. And it all starts with the fork.
Yeah, you live the first 50 years getting ready for the second 50 years. And if you don't prepare during the first 50 years, the second 50 years might not be quite 50. It might be 10.
Yeah. Well, and then on the good side of things, you and I are both flabbergasted by how quickly the body can respond when you start changing what's going in, whether the person's 18 or, you know, 68 or 78, it surprises me so much how quickly the body responds when you take out those offending agents and you just put the nutrients in the food form.
So, all righty. Well, what else you got for me? Where to start?
Yeah, I think the other thing I wanted to try to touch on, and I think we could talk about this in the future as well, a little bit more detail, is the idea of finding a cooking buddy. You know, when you had mentioned going out and, you know, I thought, because when I think of Florida and that, you know, that time I was there with you for the conference, in January, I think of, you know, beautiful warm nights and how it's so much more fun to gather at home around the kitchen and to be with friends in a really relaxed atmosphere compared to being out. I mean, it's nice sometimes to go out, but, you know, nothing is, in my mind, is more fun than relaxing at a friend's house or having people over and not having all the pressure of having to deliver this, you know, food that just comes out, you know, of the kitchen, all, you know, in one fell swoop, but inviting everybody into the kitchen and including them in the process. And so this morning I was talking to my husband and I said, okay, what are your tips, you know, for where to start? And first thing he said was cooking buddy. He said, because a cooking buddy allows you to have someone to celebrate with when it comes out well, and then to try to work through what happened if it doesn't come out as you guys had hoped. But it takes that pressure off of, and I said, that's exactly what you obviously, hon, you've been paying attention, because I put that cook togethers. You know, that's my dream for my students on a Friday night, tonight, you know, to be able to say, oh, let's not go out. Let's cook together. Let's do a hummus showdown, or, you know, a smoothie, you know, my smoothie against your smoothie. Let's see how, you know, how they taste, or just collaborating together. You bring these items, I'll bring those, and, you know, let's have fun and try something new. So I really, that's my dream.
And that's all, also a good way, if you have people that aren't plant-based, to kind of invite them and to show and
expose.
Expose. it's a nicer way to put it. If you have two or three different things that are plant-based and you can share and they get a smorgasbord or a taste of multiple different things, then... Or like you say, can you bring this? Can you bring this salad? Or can you, you know, you do the, I always make a friend of mine, she makes great spring rolls. You know, she's like, you know, she'll say, what can I bring? It's like spring rolls, you know, because she wraps them much nicer than I do. And, you know, the vegetables and everything looks so nice and her sauce is great. And it's like, spring rolls, please, you know,
spring rolls. Yeah, to stop you real quick, because those spring rolls make a very fun party, where you have it all set up as a bar, and then everybody rolls their own. And, you know, some of them get overfilled, and they're all exploding, and it turns into a fork and knife, you know, burrito roll. But that's fun, you know. And then if someone says, well, I don't like cilantro. Oh, you made them all with cilantro? Well, you don't have that issue, you know, when everybody kind of makes their own. And then, I love getting together. But go ahead.
Yep, that's good. You know, the same thing with burritos. You know, like you say, that burrito party is a good thing because, you know, you can, everybody can, you know, multiple choices of what the stuffings are and everything. So that's a good night. But yeah, I'd much rather sit around the table and be relaxed and have food and, you know, and sit and chat afterwards. I think it's much nicer than going out. It's my preference.
And
I don't think it's, and I don't feel like it's, you know, and I think sometimes people feel like they're being penalized because it's like, oh, you can't go out now because we're eating this way. We can't go out now. But after you've learned to cook that way, then you're like, we don't want to go out because we're not going to get, you know.
Yes. I have to laugh because this week was my birthday, right? So I had, So I was trying to figure out what to have for dinner. Well, it was also Chipotle fundraiser night for my daughter's school. So I, you know, eat the Chipotle sofritas and different things like that, but I was really craving this eggplant. I have this broiled eggplant recipe that actually was on California Bountiful that I just put up on the website. And I was almost dreaming about this. I mean, I just love it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to cook on my birthday because this is that good. And so it was a choice. I mean, it was my birthday. I totally could have gone out. And so they got the food, they brought it home for them, and I made this eggplant, and then I turned it into my own little sushi rolls with veg, and I was so happy. But it was an intentional choice that I had made that I didn't want to. I was thinking, where do I want to go? And I thought, you know, I'm just going to be disappointed because I have this on my mind. So, you know, it goes back to that. It's not that we couldn't. It's that I didn't want it. And that's, it felt good. I enjoyed every little bite, you know, of that. So it comes from a different place when you feel like it's your choice. So, I mean, it just feels good.
So there's no reason not to start. And there's not any reason not to know where to start. I think we got it.
Yeah. And just thinking, yeah, I think we do too. I really do. And being forgiving of any, making sure that you're looking at this as an experiment and fun, and you're in the, you know, you're kind of in the sandbox. You know, you, this isn't about being perfect. This is about trying something. We have all eaten food out that we were like, oh my gosh, that was not good. So we should definitely have, you know, the same kind of flexibility when it comes to our own food and be able to taste things and say, oh, what does it need? You know, oh, it needs this. It needs a little more spice, or I'd make it a little different next time, and have that be okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, I watch people on Instagram, and there's some people I follow, and you can tell what their go-to thing is if things aren't just quite right, you know, so they either add nutritional yeast or the sriracha or some other kind of the hummus. So there's all kinds of ways that, you know, or I like spicy things, you know, so if something is kind of missing something, the first thing I grab for is some of my hot pepper sauce, you know, and those are different things that you like, and it makes things good for you, or it makes things comfort for you.
And the idea that everybody's tastes are different and taste is learned. So just be, you know, open to new flavors and just have fun. Don't make it something serious. Make it something just an adventure. And that's what's fun about having someone to cook with sometimes. But other times, your life is so busy that it's just nice to have written music on, peaceful kitchen, and, you know, you whip something up on your own.
I agree. So what's our next subject for next time? What's our next second?
Oh, next time is going to be fun because the excuse is, well, what if I'm not overweight or I'm not unhealthy, in quotes?
Yes.
Why should I change?
Yes, and that's where the spouse sometimes comes in, that they put their feet in the sand a little bit because they're not the unhealthy one. Well, that sounds like a great mm-hmm. one. So I will say happy belated birthday to you. And
Thank you.
Hope your weekend is great, and hope you cook up a storm, and I'm sure the kiddos will be helping. And enjoy. I hope you enjoyed my chat with Timmeri. I always do. Here down in Florida, it's becoming Florida summer. It's hot and humid, so I'm adjusting to the heat with my running. I'm going to do some biking this weekend as well, doing the Sharky's Cancer Bike Run. So we'll try to get in, I don't know, someplace 35 to 70 miles, depending on what I can hold on to. But it'll be a fun ride, so let's not worry about distance and all that kind of stuff. I was had the pleasure of speaking at the Sarasota Tropical Fruit Society this week, and I picked up some tips on my tropical tree growing, and I also picked up a couple of mango trees, so a couple different varieties, and I picked up a dwarf jackfruit seedling, so I'm hoping to get those in the ground soon. I think I've talked about jackfruit in the past. If you eat young jackfruit, it's very fibrous, like a pulled pork would be. So you can make barbecue sandwiches with that when the fruit is that when it's not ripe. When it's ripe, it has a taste of juicy fruit, and it's a different kind of texture fruit. There's pods within this. It's if you Google what a jackfruit is, it's bigger than a watermelon. They can grow up to 40 pounds. This little tree I bought, the fruit's probably supposed to be about 8 pounds. But they can look like a watermelon on the outside that kind of has knobs. And on the inside, there are these pods of fruit with fiber in between them. So you eat the pods, and the pods, when they're ripe, taste like juicy fruit gum. And so it's a kind of a different texture. They're not real juicy, but they have a distinct flavor and texture that I really enjoy. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how many years before I'll get a jackfruit. But, patience is a virtue that I'm still trying to acquire. But anyway, so that's where we are in the garden. I have some tomato plants, and we're experimenting with some new irrigation system in our raised bed. So hopefully get things, shaded a little bit here in the summer heat and keep watering. And hopefully we'll get some rain down here in Florida. So We can still have some vegetables growing in the summertime. I've got collards coming up. I still have a little bit of Swiss chard. And the eggplants are still producing. So we're working on that. It's certainly fun to get the raised beds going and, you know, kind of make a little garden in the back so that it kind of looks nice as well as provides us with some fruit and vegetables. So that's what's going on down here in sunny, humid Florida. So until next time, I hope your week is good. I hope you try some of the ideas that we presented today, and see you next week.